Wow, you know, I know this, but I know it afresh now, that in God's economy, little things really are big things, and we shouldn't be afraid of committing ourselves to those little things. If that's a time, a season of being a sidekick, if that's a time, a season of just, you know, feeling like you're putting in the work, but you're not seeing a lot of quote unquote fruit, there is still value and legacy to that.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller, Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand, and we're all hanging out in your living room together.
Welcome back, fourth chair friends. We are so excited to have you with us today. And we have a guest fourth chair friend as well that we will introduce you to in just a minute. But today we are tackling the topic, ever feel invisible? And I think that's probably something we are all familiar with and we have heard about from you in our Facebook group. So that's what we're going to have a conversation about today.
You know, Holly, I am so excited to introduce this person because number one, she's a friend and I love her. But number two, I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with Bible study. Is it okay to say that?
It is.
Because I'm studying all day. I'm doing things for ministry and work. And just recently, I sat down with a new Bible study called Footnotes. It's a four-week Bible study by Abingdon Press, and Julie Lyles Carr is the author of this, and it has been a really beautiful study. So Julie is an author, a speaker, a broadcaster. She's a podcaster, and she serves as the pastor of Life Women Women's Ministry at her home church of Life Austin in Austin, Texas. She's also a mama to eight. Am I right, Julie?
That's the last time I counted. That's
And she is joining us here today. And I have a confession question for all of us, but I hope that Julie is going to jump in first. If you were a superhero, or if you were in a superhero movie, would you rather be the superhero or the sidekick, and why?
It depends on the costumes, right? I mean, you know, sometimes the sidekick has a really great costume. Sometimes the best costumes are reserved for the senior superhero. But, you know, in thinking about that, I think sometimes it depends to me on what I think the nemesis is and what the opportunity to do certain things is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to say that, you know, it doesn't matter as long as we're doing good, but it matters.
I love your honesty. You know, when I think about this question, for me, it's definitely sidekick. Because I didn't even think about the costumes. I was thinking about, I'm going to let them go ahead of me and do all the tough stuff. And then I'm going to arrive in a nick of time and be like, here I am. I'm going to hold your arms up and I'm going to cheer you on. And I don't know what that says about me, but that's my choice.
I always say a sidekick because I think that there's less pressure. But I didn't factor in the outfit. So I would say sidekick, but I will say that one year when my best friend and I were speaking at a conference, she got me this card and it says, there are no sidekicks, just superheroes. And so, because I always say I'm your sidekick. And she was like, no, I'm not going to let you think of yourself in that way. So anyways, that challenges my thinking, but I'd still pick the sidekick because I'm very awkward and someone could die because of me.
Well, Julie, this is good news because I'd be the superhero too. So we have a sidekick each.
Good.
So we're all set up.
Nice and matched. Now we've got a sidekick together.
Yes. But I'll say that with a disclaimer, like you, it depends. I would say that I would be a superhero who is always willing to be a sidekick when that's what's called for.
Okay.
You know, like Iron Man doesn't play well with others. He never wants to be the sidekick. But Wonder Woman, she knows how to do both. So yeah, I think that's what I would say.
You've had a thing for Wonder Woman for a while.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I don't know about wearing that outfit to Walmart, but.
Well, the reason that we're talking about this is in the book Footnotes that you wrote, Julie, it's major lessons from minor Bible characters. And I have to confess that when I started reading and studying the first chapter, I'm going to so massacre this name, just get ready for it. I had never heard of Tychicus. Is that even close?
Tychicus, you got it. Yeah,
Tychicus.
You're
right. And can you imagine, like, if I don't know, that just would be a hard name as a kid. But Tychicus, I had never heard. And then I start studying through and I see him linked with Paul. So Paul in a movie would be the superhero. I don't know what costume he would wear, but Tychicus would definitely be the sidekick. And he showed up many more times than I realized in this. And so it's really the topic of this is ever feel invisible. And sometimes when you're the sidekick, you can feel really invisible.
Absolutely. You know, I'm always fascinated by the backstory. I want to know kind of the little hidden details and the things that are behind some of the stories that we're very familiar with. And I also have this burden right now for a lot of women, because I feel like that in the women I'm ministering to, we're in a season where we have more opportunities than ever. We feel like we have more doors open to us than ever. Everyone I know has a side hustle and a grind and a hashtag boss mom thing that they're trying to get out there, which is great. I embrace all of it. I'm in it. But I'm finding in a very strange way with all of those new opportunities and all of those new potentials, we are beginning to allow the very critical truth that little things are big things. I'm seeing that slip away. I'm encountering women all the time who, by comparison, feel like they're not doing enough. They're not making it happen. They're not all the things. And I just think, man, I don't want that to be the legacy of doors opening for us.
Wow.
Is it then we start thinking our lives are too small to make a difference? And as I was reflecting on this and thinking through, well, who in the Word of God is that person who did little things that ended up being big things? And I was amazed when I just started to kind of pump the brakes a little bit. And I just would just be tearing through scripture, looking for big truth and big stories and big personalities. And when I pumped the brakes a little bit and began to realize there is a whole population of people who maybe get a mention, maybe their name is in a couple, three places sprinkled, but to really stop and take a moment and go, wait a minute. The little things that they did, what did that lead to? And I just became so empowered and excited to see that, wow, you know, I know this, but I know it afresh now, that in God's economy, little things really are big things, and we shouldn't be afraid of committing ourselves to those little things. If that's a time, a season of being a sidekick, if that's a time, a season of just, you know, feeling like you're putting in the work, but you're not seeing a lot of quote unquote fruit, there is still value and legacy to that.
Wow. That's so good. And I think a lot of women do need to hear that, because we like to minimize what we do, and we can quote the scripture, you know, do not despise small beginnings, but we really do. And I think that especially when you have a calling on your life and you find yourself in that sideline role, you can start to think that that's not important. But I've learned the most in my seasons of sidelines than I ever have up front and, you know, right in the middle of the action. So I think this footnotes and this invisibility, it serves a really big purpose, even if we think that it's small. I think it's when it's obedience, that's never small. So I love that.
Yeah. You know, we live in a culture that is so used to seeing immediate results, right?
Yes.
I mean, like we can jump online and on our social media, and if we're trying to track if we have a certain number of people following us or how it posted or how many shares it got, and we can have that real-time feedback, which means we're starting to lose perspective on what seasons of sowing and harvest are, because that's actually more of the way that things work. We right now are microwave at home. I shouldn't be hard on any of the appliances in my house, because as you can imagine, we put appliances through more paces than a normal household. You know, we recently replaced our washer and dryer. We've already had one repair. My husband is like, "What is going on?" And I'm thinking, well, it runs all the time.
Yeah.
It's just a constant. Our microwave just decided, you know what? It's been great, guys, but I've had enough. And to watch my kids over the last couple of weeks go, how are we going to heat things up? You know, I'm so used to an immediate thing.
Yeah.
And I think as women, even though we understand, particularly those of us who carried babies, we know that's the longest 9 months you can ever experience. But still, I think we're losing that understanding that there are big dividends over time when we simply show up and do the thing and do it well, and we do it over and over and over. I mean, that's how we launch so many important things in our lives. But in this hurry up, more immediate gratification world, we can start to think something's wrong when nothing's wrong. It's just the truth of seasons and sowing and planting and harvesting.
Yeah. So, Julie, what do you think will help women when they feel invisible? What's going to help us with that? What would be your piece of advice to give someone?
I've definitely had times that I felt very invisible. And sometimes those times are when I felt like I was working the hardest, you know, that cleaning up or taking care of things, tasks that if they're not done, then everybody notices, but nobody's really noticing when you're doing them. And I can remember times, particularly when my four oldest kids were little, and I just felt like I was in the, you know, absolute swamps of motherhood, just all the things with everybody undoing what I was trying to do every day. And that season was hard because at times I just felt like, is anybody going to see? Is anybody going to notice? Over time, this is going to sound a little esoteric, but this really helped. I began to realize that God really does see every little thing. And just like with my own kids, if one of them comes home with, you know, some kind of amazing report on a thesis they did, all the way down to my kids that I turned around and, oh, look, they loaded the dishwasher. All of it is such a big thing in my eyes. And that is how it is for God as well. He doesn't evaluate us the way the world does. So for me to begin to look to Him first, you know, Father, are you pleased? Am I actually challenging myself and doing something that if no one else ever sees it, that I realize before you, I did it well. There's a little devotional book by a guy, some of you may be familiar with him, Brother Lawrence.
Yeah.
It's Practicing the Presence of God. And he talked about in washing the dishes, and he would see that little rainbow that will appear in the bubbles, reflecting on how amazing our God is, that He created light that can split in that way. And we can see all of these amazing colors, and how this time of doing dishes would become devotional to Him because it was so revelatory about the nature of God.
Yeah.
And again, I don't like washing dishes just because Brother Lawrence does, but it really helps me refocus again to say, wow, these are temporary tasks, and God still reveals Himself in these temporary tasks that are repetitive and sometimes don't seem like they're the most fulfilling thing, but He is still there. He is still in it. That practice of that can be really powerful when we're in a place where we feel invisible to other human beings.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because there are times that God has pushed me to the forefront and I wasn't ready, and yet He asked me to obey. And then there's times that He has asked me to be quiet for a season, and maybe a longer season than I want to be. And what I've learned through that is that if we'll hold our hands open, just open, and everything that He has asked us to do, and I mean every role, I'm not talking just ministry and being a mom and hold that so loosely in our hands, so that if He says, hey, a role is shifting, you're going from mother to mother-in-law, or a role is going away, this part of ministry that you've invested yourself in for the last decade, it is now going to be in somebody else's hands. And I'm going to put you in a place of rest or restoration, or maybe in a whole new direction. If I hold those things lightly in my hands, then whether I'm sidekick, superhero, invisible, front row, back row, out of sight, whatever it is, it's not about me. It's not my identity, because my identity is as a follower of Christ. And so if He's the one that says, hey, I know you really love that, but that season's ending and it's time to go in a different direction, and you're not going to be seen at all, I can say, okay, you're the boss. You're the one that knows. You're ultimately the superhero. We're all the sidekicks.
Right.
You know,
right.
We are. And that has really helped me to be able to transition from season to season, not just with obedience, but honestly with expectation and joy that God has something more for me if I'll just say yes.
And you said something really important there, Susie, which is this idea of seasons. I think so often we either get frustrated in the season we're in, or we try to hang on too tightly to that season.
Yeah.
I think our culture has a real problem with succession. I think we really struggle to understand what that is. And we sometimes see it. You know, we'll see the guy who was the major high school football player and he goes off to college, but he keeps coming back to the hometown and yes. putting on a letter jacket
yes.
and trolling the halls because he just doesn't know
yes.
how to move on into the next season. But I think if the season we're in, if we can stay cogent, and I don't mean this in some kind of, I had people say this to me when my littlest were young and it felt almost, you know, discompassionate in a sense, like, well, it just goes so fast, but it does go so fast. And when I look back at that season, I can absolutely see the seasons when I had a whole bunch of little kids in the house, all under the age of 12, that it was hard. There were things that were really challenging. But I also see it now in the context on a timeline of saying, man, that was a short amount of time. And I'm glad for the things I embraced. And I repent of the things that I tried to speed up. Mm. And that seasonal understanding, just like Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes, when we can get a real grip on that and be willing to move with grace from season to season, whether that is a season of feeling like we're somewhat obscure into a season that maybe we're better known, moving back into a season that maybe we're not quite as seen. I think if we can get that grace rhythm down of seasons of life, it really does help us stay a lot more centered and not make us feel like maybe we're doing something wrong if we're not at the front of the line all the time.
Yeah. I think too, not focusing on results helps with that, you know, because mm-hmm. if our eyes are always like on the finish line or the goal or whatever it is, then we're not in the moment. And so something I've learned to say a lot is my role is obedience. God's role is results. Mm, and that kind of frees me up, you know, that all I'm called to is faithfulness. And that success, like success is the moment I say yes to God. It's not the moment when I reach whatever goal is, you know? And so that's been really helpful to me too. I don't always remember that, but on the days I do, you know, and it occurred to me one day I was like, well, God's invisible. So if I feel invisible, I'm in really good company. You know, he has chosen to be unseen in our lives. You know, obviously we see the results of what he does, but it's okay to be invisible. So Julie, we like to always give our listeners a practical step they can take to apply what we've talked about during the episode, and bonus points if they can do it in 5 minutes or less. So if there's a woman listening right now saying, I have been feeling kind of invisible and I don't want to feel that way, but I don't really know how to start changing the way that I'm thinking, what would you say to her?
One thing that has helped me in seasons where I have really felt like, am I even showing up on anybody's radar, is a form of journaling. Now, this is going to sound kind of strange, but let's just roll with it for a second. A form of journaling where I write down the various things that I have done through the day and not just the tasks. Now, the tasks are important, but to marry that to something that I think is the bigger vision God has for my life. So there may be days that all I'm listing on a little random sheet of paper is got up, got my teeth brushed, got most of the humans somewhat dressed, excluding underwear for some of them, made some food, did a couple of math facts with some people, and then finally got everybody back down. But when I look at through the course of a day, the things that have been done and the importance that they have over time. And so then to take that task list of what I've completed and scaffold it into, wow, somewhat getting people through some kind of hygiene thing over time. That's a skill that I want my kids to have further in their lives. What a great thing. We made some imperfect progress on that. And hey, we ate some food together and we chatted while we did it. That's that building of relationships around the table. That scaffolds out to something that's bigger. It's a little thing that becomes a big thing over time. Memories for my kids of hanging out with mom and having lunch. Math facts. I question too, sometimes, my friends, when will we ever use this again? But we did it. And maybe one of them will remember those math facts eventually. But scaffolding out to something that I can show my kids how to do things that are a little more difficult. We can work through some things together. And that troubleshooting, problem solving ethos that I'm giving them in this little thing becomes a big thing over time in their approach to their lives. So sometimes for me, just listing the things, seeing it in writing, not a to-do list, but a to-done list, even if it's small, I can begin to see where I put seeds in the ground, and I can walk in faith that those seeds will be honored by God, and there will be a time of growth and a time that I get to see where that comes to fruition later on down the line. So that's my practicality for 5 minutes, even if it's just a note on your phone or a random piece of paper or the back of a receipt, to just take a moment to really honor that you honored God by doing some little things well and with great love.
Yeah. Well, my 5 minutes or less is to see someone who is unseen, and then to simply write a note, like on paper, not a text, not an email, to pull out a note, a thank you note, and to say, thank you for what you do. You are a bridge builder. You are a world changer. And I see you and I thank you for what you do today.
Yours is better.
There's no better.
Yeah, I think those are all really great. So normally I'm the bullet journal, make a list, do all of the things. But I think what I do for myself and what I would recommend is just reminding yourself what I'm feeling is temporary and what I'm going through is temporary, because it feels like it's going to be a forever season, but it never is. So I think when I remind myself that this is just temporary, then I can kind of like relax and not stress out so much about it.
Yeah. And I think just pausing, like you said, and just reflecting on the day. I do a gratitude journal. It's a little bit different, but I do it the next morning, because I find if I try to record anything the day of, my perspective is just so off. So for anyone who has trouble with that, they could also do kind of a version where they just wait until the next morning too and start the day by saying, all right, here's where God was good the day before, and here's where I was able to pull something off, at least a little bit.
That's really good. Well, I'm excited to announce that Julie is going to give away a copy of her book, Footnotes, Major Lessons from Minor Bible Characters. And along with that, she is going to give away, she and her publisher are giving away the video curriculum that goes along with this. So this is so cool. I'm really excited. And the way that you will be eligible to receive that is to go to the More Than Small Talk Facebook group, join in, and when this airs today, I'm going to jump in the group and I'm going to post, and one of you will take this away. And again, the book is Footnotes, Major Lessons from Minor Bible Characters. And the delightful human being that has been sitting with us today is Julie Lyles Carr. And we love you, Julie. We're thankful that you joined us. And I hope I get to see you face to face soon.
I would love that. Love you. You guys are the best.
Thanks, Julie.
Bye.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in the More Than Small Talk Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite podcast app so you won't ever miss an episode.